The United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit is now in session.
Thank you, and welcome to the Ninth Circuit. I'm Judge Nelson, and it's a pleasure to be joined by my colleagues, Judge Bybee and Judge Bolton. We're very grateful for our visiting judges who come out and help us handle our caseload, and it's been a pleasure to be with Judge Bolton these last couple of days. We'd also like to welcome counsel. We're so glad to see so many returning in person. It's a welcome relief as we make this transition back to the way things used to be. And we also welcome counsel who will be on virtually and grateful that we can accommodate everyone in this. We ask that during arguments you please keep to your allocated time frames, sum up as your time's expiring, and let us know if you want to reserve any time for rebuttal. We're ready to proceed with our oral argument calendar. We've submitted two cases, United States versus Cohen, case number 19-10288, and James versus Kijakazi, case number 21-35586. We have three arguments today. We'll start with Van Tobel versus Johns, case number 20-16853, and that case is set for 10 minutes per side. Appellants will be splitting the time, having one do the opening and one do the rebuttal. Perfect. We'll welcome then, is it Ms. Massey first? Okay, go ahead. About that, because she does give an explanation. I guess the question is whether it's sufficient. She says it's elective surgery. Does that raise the question of whether this is objectively reasonable? She doesn't seem to give a medical explanation for why the surgery isn't necessary, but in your view, tell me what you think this explanation does preserve for them.
Oh, no, Your Honor, it's not a medical reason, and this court has held, for example, in Caldwell, that a non-medical is a basis for reference. And to the point about it being elective surgery just means that it's not an emergency. We don't need to put you in the ambulance right now. But it doesn't go to any comment on the necessity of the surgery or how important the surgery is. So just because she said in her statement that it was elective surgery, that's not an objective reason on why she denied the surgery or interfered with scheduling the surgery. And if you take a look at her context of the statement as a whole, it's really her personal belief that because Von Tobel was a prisoner, that this surgery wasn't important enough for her to be concerned about, and that he would just have to deal with the condition.
In Caldwell, there was a Nevada policy regarding those who had cataracts. Was there any Nevada policy at issue here?
No, Your Honor, and
this court has held that you don't need to have a policy in place. For example, if you look at EDMO, there was no prison policy that was in place when this court decided that the physicians who were treating EDMO had denied her treatment.
So if there had been a policy, Dr. Johns might have been guiding herself by that. So what you're suggesting then is because there was no policy, Dr. Johns' decision is her own as opposed to that made by somewhere else.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, this was her decision to interfere with the surgery. And if you look at the specialist recommendations, and even the prison itself suggested that that Von Tobel would need surgery when they denied his grievance on the very basis that surgery was being scheduled for his hands.
Do we know whether Nevada has provided trigger finger surgery for any other prisoners?
I don't have that on me right now. I could check with my co-counsel and have her answer that possibly on appeal, but I believe...
Would that be in the record?
I don't think that's in the record, Your Honor, no. But This court has held, for example, that like a fractured thumb is enough to grant surgery. In Jett, for example, he had a fractured thumb, and the court said that just giving pain medication to treat that condition wasn't enough. And here, the trigger finger is in, there's evidence in the record that it's affecting multiple digits, and that he's really, Dr. Long said at one point, he's really lacking tremendously. So it's not a condition where one finger is minor, being minorly affected by it. It's multiple fingers to the point where he has a hard time, for example, grasping his cane, doing basic hygiene, feeding himself, things along those lines, which are necessary in the day-to-day function of a prisoner.
Can I ask, earlier in this case, the pain medications were taken away from Mr. Van Tobel, and his cane was taken away. Can you shed a little bit of light on why that happened, and what, is that part of the claim here, or are you just asking, there's an eighth, he needs to be, they need to be directed to give the hand surgery?
Yes, Your Honor. So there is some evidence that at one point Dr. Evert did discontinue his pain medication and take away his cane temporarily. But what we're asking for here is really the focus on Dr. Johns and her active interference in getting the surgery scheduled. And then on top of that, the injunctive relief claim that the prison schedules his surgery and makes sure that the surgery gets done.
Do we know why Dr. Evert took away the cane or the meds? I mean, that might be relevant to some reasoning on the part of Dr. Johns.
According to Van Tobel's sworn declaration, he said that Dr. Evert told him that the prison had instructed Dr. Evert to discontinue the pain medication and also take away the cane, but we don't have much beyond that in the record.
I mean, it's just hard to think as to why, I can understand why you might be taking away meds if they were abusing them or storing them up or selling them to other prisoners, but taking away a cane unless you've used it as a weapon seems inexplicable.
Yes, Your Honor, I'd agree. And what we have pretty much to explain it is that Van Tobel said that Dr. Evert told him he was instructed to take the cane away.
How do we make the distinction on these surgeries? Because these come up from time to time. And when do we find the line between an Eighth Amendment violation and a non-Eighth Amendment violation? Because you could imagine a whole host of, quote, elective surgeries that likely wouldn't trigger the Eighth Amendment. Is it the amount of pain? Is that the sole function we look at?
You look to see how the condition is affecting their day-to-day life. And for example, like in Jett, the fractured thumb was considered enough to reach that deliberate indifference standard. And here we have an even stronger case because it's not just one thumb. It's his entire, both of his hands pretty much. He can't do day-to-day functions, and it's really affecting how he can operate in the prison.
But when Dr. John said he's going to have to learn to live with this condition, can we read that as a medical statement to say this isn't impeding him enough? I understand that it's going to be this uncomfortable, but it's not something that is rising to such a high level that it's going to significantly impact him.
Yeah, I see I'm out of time. Do you want me to answer?
Yes, okay. Please answer the question.
Perfect. So her statement, and because we're at summary judgment, we have to view that statement in favor of Van Tobel. And if you look at the entire context of her statement, the word adapt wasn't used as like an adaptive therapy or an alternate form of treatment. Instead, it was, this is prison. You're just going to have to get used to it. You're just going to have to adapt on your own. And there's nothing in the record that gives up any follow-up adaptive therapy or anything like that. So the statement that, because she used the word adapt, she's not using it in a medical term. She's using it more as a personal belief that Von Tobel doesn't deserve surgery. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Judge Nelson, Judge Bivey, Judge Bolton. For the record, my name is Greg Zanino. I'm the Deputy Solicitor General for the Nevada Attorney General's Office, and I'm representing the defendant appellees, including Dr. Johns, who is the focal point of the appeal in this case.
Could I ask you to adjust your microphone up a little bit?
Okay.
Thank you.
How's that?
Yeah, that's better. Okay.
Van Tobel appeals from a grant of summary judgment on all claims against him. The magistrate issued a report and recommendation that the district court judge adopted without any comment or elaboration.
Can I just jump into a question that
sure.
You the district court below and you on appeal are arguing that this is just a dispute between medical experts. seems to me that the problem with that is the medical testimony is all on one side, which is he needs surgery. Dr. Johns doesn't seem to have given a medical reason for why he didn't need surgery. Can you tell me what the medical reason is why he doesn't need surgery?
Granted, the record is not very well developed in terms of what Dr. Johns thought or believed, but I think we can speculate about what her motives were for telling.
Why could we speculate? Why would we speculate on summary judgment?
Well, we wouldn't speculate, I guess is my point, is what we would do is draw the most reasonable inference. And I think the most reasonable inference based upon the medical record is that von Tobel simply is not an ideal candidate for surgery.
Is Dr. Johns competent to make that judgment when we've got the surgeons who have said that he needs surgery?
I think she is.
And that's not a disputed point of material fact?
Well, what I think the physicians are saying, Your Honor, is that in order to correct this condition, in order to fix it completely, he needs a surgery. But I don't think anybody has said that he simply requires surgery in order to lead a normal life, right?
Didn't the physician say the only thing that's going to help you is surgery, and that at one point in time, in response to his grievance, they said, well, your grievance is denied because we're scheduling surgery. I mean, when we see that in the record, doesn't that drawing the inferences in favor of the non-moving party suggest that the only thing this record shows is that the only option left to him is surgery?
I think that the single most decisive piece of evidence in the record is Dr. Walls' statement that this is an elective surgery. And keep in mind that Dr. Walls is not a prison physician. Dr. Walls is an outside physician.
Well, going back to that term elective surgery, as judges and non-medical people, do we know what that means? Counsel for Mr. Von Tobel just said that elective surgery means it's not emergency surgery, but surgery that can be scheduled. The term elective surgery, I don't know that I'm competent to say, because he used the term elective surgery, that means he could have it or he could not have it. It doesn't really matter.
I understand, you know, just based upon experience, that term to mean that the insurance typically won't pay for it. They won't pay for an elective surgery. In other words, it's not life-threatening. It may not even be life-altering.
Well, but we have, I mean, that's why I was asking the questions before. There's clearly case law that says a fractured thumb, they had to provide it because it was a serious impediment. That's not life-threatening. Plenty of people have adapted to life with, you know, without use of a thumb. But still, we have case law that says you've got to do that. So in one sense, it's elective, but in the other sense, we've said you got to do it. Why is this different than those types of cases?
You know, I don't know that it's elective. I mean, I think the insurance companies would pay to fix a broken thumb, right? I don't think necessarily that they will pay for a surgery to repair tendonitis, right? Tendonitis.
How is that relevant here, what an insurance company would pay?
Well, because it's based upon medical industry standards. I mean, these are industry standards to be distinguished, I think, from Caldwell v. Bannister, which is a situation where the Department of Corrections simply deemed the surgery to be elective. I mean, as far as I can tell,
there was also evidence in that record that he was not in any pain, that it didn't affect the functioning of the good eye, and that he was perfectly functional. And that it is considered elective other places because people are not denied driver's license or anything else on the basis of a cataract affecting only one eye. Here we've got evidence that there is pain and that it is affecting daily functioning.
Well, in Caldwell v. Bannister, there was evidence, and it was corroborated. It wasn't just the plaintiff's allegation that the plaintiff had run his hand twice through a sewing machine, that he'd banged into people, and that resulted in fights, that he split his head open because he bumped into something. So, I mean, there was evidence in that record that it was causing pain, even though the cataract wasn't directly causing pain. The consequences of the cataract were causing pain, right? And as far as I can tell, that was kind of the reasoning behind the Caldwell decision, is that the fact that the consequence was that he was suffering pain because he couldn't see and he was doing things to hurt himself. I don't know that there's any pain. There's certainly not any evidence.
But there's medical records. I've read the medical records that said that he was in pain.
And he'd been given pain medication.
Well, he'd given pain medication for it. And the doctors talked about treatment with steroids in order to, as an alternative or a make weight until he could get surgery.
Well, and I have no reason to believe, based upon the records, that the pain relievers are not adequate to manage the pain. Or right. That
but what's missing from all of this, counsel, is something from Dr. Johns that says, I've looked over all of these records, and I am making a medical determination that this is not required and that it is manageable through steroid treatments and pain medications. I just don't see anything here. And yet the magistrate said there's a difference of medical opinion. Well, there was a difference of opinion. It wasn't clear that it was medical.
Well, Dr. Johns is a physician. I think we can infer that she had a medical reason,
right? How do we
right?
do that on summary judgment? How do you get to win on the basis of no evidence on your side?
Well, the records supply the evidence. I mean, we have
the records are overwhelmingly on his side because there's no detail on the state side. We have no records from Dr. Johns other than the reference to outside. She thought it was important enough to refer it to outside specialists, and he got a number of specialists. Good for the state for getting him to the specialists. And then when they recommended surgery, the record goes silent.
Well, and I think your point goes to the objective inquiry, right? And I think there's also a subjective inquiry, and
hold on. Why does Judge Bybee's point go to the objective inquiry? Because to me, your strongest argument potentially is the objective inquiry, but you don't seem to have made that in your very strongly in your brief that there's no basis for him to even have to get this. Once you do show, I mean, if you don't show an objective, then you got to show, you know, subjective, and there's no question that Dr. Johns subjectively delayed this. So it seems like your only argument is that he never needed it in the first place.
Well, I think Dr. Johns had certainly no reason to believe that the surgery was going to, or the lack of surgery.
Well, how can you seriously say that when you have, she referred him out to Dr. Walls, Dr. Long, Dr. Everett, they all said he had surgery scheduled. Can you touch base on why that surgery never happened? It was actually scheduled at least once, if not twice, and it never happened over 4 years.
Well, and I've drawn the inference, right, that ultimately, you know, someone concluded, likely Dr. Johns, that he was simply not an ideal candidate for surgery because he had such a lengthy history of...
Isn't that for the fact finder to draw that inference, not for the trial judge on summary judgment?
I think that deliberate indifference is a very high standard, right? You have to get over a very high bar to prove deliberate indifference, and I think that it's pretty clear that no jury can draw the inference that Dr. Johns had a bad motive or an improper motive.
But doesn't her statement that is not disputed, that is under oath by Mr. Von Tobel, suggest deliberate indifference?
No, I think it suggests that she's giving Von Tobel a dose of tough love. That's what it indicates to me.
Counsel, did you help Dr. Johns prepare her affidavit or declaration?
No, I didn't. That was another. That was a deputy attorney general that handled
okay.
that.
Okay. It's just really remarkable that when you've got lawyers involved in a process like this and you've got the doctor in front of them, that none of these questions apparently were answered to the lawyers. Or if they were answered, they weren't answered to the lawyer's satisfaction. And the silence of the record, suggests a very, very different inference from the one that you're asking us to draw. And I don't see how we get to draw your inference on summary judgment, on your motion for summary judgment.
Well, you know, as Judge Nelson indicated, right? Again, I think one, we can infer that this is not a serious need, right? It's tendonitis, right? And Mr. Von
I'm
Tobel
sorry.
Is...
Yeah, where's the evidence that it wasn't serious, that it's tendonitis, that it's something commonly... I mean, all of these things were in the brief, but they're not in the record.
Well, and again, I think that goes back to Dr. Wall's statement that this is elective, and I don't agree that elective is an uncertain term or an ambiguous term. I think elective means
but
that.
But does it matter if you and I have a different definition of elective surgery and nothing in the record says what they meant by that?
I think that's a commonly understood term, elective, and it means not life-threatening. You know, I mean, if the insurance company won't pay for it, that, according to medical industry standards, is not something that's life-threatening or seriously life-altering. And I mean, that's how I think you interpret the term.
Gallbladder elective. Surgery is not would not be it would be elective.
I think that gallbladder surgery. I think that, that gallbladder could potentially kill you.
It might be performed on an emergency basis, but it isn't usually performed on an emergency basis. It could be scheduled and sometimes scheduled months out.
I agree, but
I'm just not sure what any of that proves.
I don't know that that's elective necessarily because it can be deferred or be delayed. That
sure.
Elective doesn't go to the question of whether the surgery can be deferred or be delayed. Elective goes to the question of whether it's medically necessary, in my opinion.
You've commented a couple of times about insurance companies not covering elective surgery. Is there anything in the record on that?
Is there anything in the record? No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. Ideally, there would be.
Okay, counsel.
I've got over my time.
Thank you for your argument. We'll hear rebuttal.
Okay.
Counsel, we do have case law, though, that says that the standard is pretty high here. It has to be medically unacceptable. It can't just be malpractice. It can't just be negligence. It has to be medically unacceptable under the circumstances to deny the surgery. What evidence is there that it's medically unnecessary here, as opposed to just it would, yes, his life would be better if he had the surgery?
Well, the medical need is that it impedes on the life's necessities, and here he can't wipe after using the bathroom. He can't hold a spoon or a fork to eat. He can't affecting his daily activities, and then on top of it, it is causing him pain. So that is enough to show that he has a serious medical.
But is there a suggestion that surgery will help? I mean, steroids were also proposed and they didn't work. So, I mean, sometimes you can have procedures that, you know, again, would be nice to test out, but is there evidence that this was just, you know, medically unacceptable to deny this? Because it might, if he wasn't given steroids, which was also a recommendation, I'm not sure that would have been medically unacceptable to deny him steroids. And I'm wondering if it's just a different analysis here with the surgery.
No, Your Honor, because here we have the four separate recommendations for surgery doctors, and that's going with Dr. John's denial of surgery, which was not a medical opinion. It was based on that because he was prison. So looking at the record in favor of Mr. Von Tobel as a non-moving party, it demonstrates that her doctor said he needed surgery. Dr. John's non-medical opinion, she decided. Further, even if it was a medical opinion, it was an inferior one, and this court has held in cases such as Hamilton where prison officials choose to rely on a medical opinion, which a reasonable person that of his hands. Further, it was contrary to his 4 separate recommendations for surgery. And the prison itself suggested that surgery was necessary and his grievance on the basis that surgery was necessary. Further, the record is silent as to Dr. Johns's denial.
Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you both for enlightening us on this case, and a special thanks to the students who, again, have argued very well today. We're grateful for your service, and the case is now submitted.